أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Last time we discussed about khutbah number 6, which was about the issue of Battle of Jamal, and some people giving advice to Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam that he better not move to Basra and wait and see what would happen. And Amir al-Mu'minin said, no, I'm not going to do that, and I will not wait like a badger to be deceived out of their hole. Again, in the next khutbah and the khutbah, three khutbahs after them, there are short statements about this Battle of Jamal and how Amir al-Mu'mineen judged and viewed the people who went out for that battle. In the seventh khutbah, Amir al-Mu'mineen mentions that these people who went for Jamal, اتخذوا الشيطان لأمرهم ملاكا. They took Shaitan as a criterion for their action, for what their affairs. Why? Because what they wanted was not, of course, truth. They wanted falsehood and battle, because why they opposed Ali alayhi salam, it was not because they thought that they were more rightful to occupy that position, or because they wanted to gain something because of haq. So they just did it for the sake of power and for the sake of coming to the position that Ali alayhi salam had. So it was shaitan which was a criterion for the action. اتخذوا الشيطان لأمرهم ملاكا واتخذهم له أشركا. This is the most eloquent type of literature coming in Arabic language. That, and shaitan took them, they took shaitan as their criterion. Shaitan took them as his booby traps. Meaning that they, because of their honor, because of their past, their precedence, they became the booby traps of shaitan. People were attracted to them because one of them was Umm al-Mu'mineen, Aisha, the other was Talha, the other was Zubair, and well, people thought that these people couldn't be wrong. And therefore they were attracted to them. Of course, we will analyze who were attracted to them, and we'll see that not all of them as well were booby-trapped by shaitan, but many of those who were attracted to these people were booby-trapped by shaitan. So they became the booby-traps of the shaitan. So وَاتَّخَذَهُمْ لَهُ أَشْرَاكَ فَبَاضَ وَفَرَّخَ فِي صُدُورَهُمْ. Shaitan, what he did, he egged in their hearts, and the eggs became chicks, and the chickens came out from their hearts, wadabba wadaraja fi hujurihim, and started to grow and to move on their laps. And these chicks which were made by shaitan, they started to grow. What happened now? Fanadara ba'ayunihim, shaitan looked by their eyes, wanataqa ba'alsanatihim, and speak from their tongues. Now we have the opposite, that if someone is one of awliya Allah, Allah will look from his eyes and will speak from their tongue. These people were the opposite. Shaitan took them. You have probably seen in films that some people, when they are possessed, whether this is true or not, when they are possessed by an evil spirit or by a jinn or something, that evil spirit would speak from their tongue. Now this might seem for us to be something very far-fetched, cannot imagine it very well, But it is something which happens every day in front of our eyes with regard to some people. Shaitan speaks from their tongues and they don't understand it. And we don't understand it. And Amir al-Mu'minin says, these people who mustered others against me to come and fight, Shaitan had actually spoken from their tongues. Look from their eyes, spoke فَرَكَّبَ بِهِمُ الظَّلَالَ. And he wrote, by their help, the amount of misguidance, وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْخَتَالَ, and decorated for them all mistakes and wrongdoings. فَإِلَى مَنْ قَدْ شَرَكَهُ الشَّيْطَانِ فِي سُلْطَانِهِ. Just like the action of someone whom Shaitan has become a partner of their power. They have some power, Shaitan comes and says, okay, I have a share in this power, and starts to ruin them. وَنَفَقَ بِالْبَاطِلِ عَلَى لِسَانِهِ. Just like someone who an evil spirit, a jinn or something, speaks on their tongue. This is what happened to these people. Now, when we go through the story, we will see what Amir al-Mu'mineen means by all these. The next khutbah talks about the same people again. However, this time it talks about Zubayr, his own cousin. Amir al-Mu'min talks about Zubayr, his own cousin, and he says that يَزْعَمُ أَنَّهُ قَدْ بَايَعَ بِيَدِهِ. He thinks that he has made bay'ah with his hand, وَلَمْ يُبَايَعْ بِقَلْبِهِ, and did not make bay'ah with his heart. This is what Zubayr said. Now, Talha and Zubayr, they didn't have any excuse for disobeying Ali, peace be on him, because they had paid allegiance to him. Now, when they were asked, when they wanted to move towards Basra to start the fight, they were asked, didn't you pay allegiance to Ali? Are you breaking your bay'ah? Now, what Zubayr said, he said, of course he could not deny that he had made bay'ah with Ali. He said, okay, I did bay'ah with my hand, but my heart was not content, was not satisfied with it. I didn't like to do it, I just did it with my hand. So, Amir al-Mu'mineen says, يَزْأَمُ أَنَّهُ قَدْ بَايَعَ بِيَدِهِ. He thinks that he has made bay'ah with his hand, وَلَمْ يُبَايَعْ بِقَلْبِهِ, and he did not make bay'ah with his heart. This is, of course, a very unjustifiable excuse. فَقَدْ أَقَرَّ بِالْبَيْئَةِ. By this statement, he has confessed that he has made the bay'ah. Isn't it? He said that I did bay'ah with my hand, not with my heart. So he has confessed that he has made the bay'ah. وَدَّعَ الْوَلِيجَةِ. And, of course, he claims that this was not something by his heart. فَلْيَأْتِ عَلَيْهَا بِأَمْرٍ يُعْرَفْ. So he says that he didn't make bay'ah with his heart. What is the proof of it? How could people, if everyone after any bay'ah come and say that I didn't want to make bay'ah with my heart, what is the proof for it? If he has a proof for it, let him bring it. Otherwise, he has to follow the bay'ah he made. And the two other khutbahs, I don't want to go through it now because I want to go through some history. Now, about Talha and Zubayr, some of which we discussed last week, of course, but in a more detailed way, especially with their relation with Aisha as well. Now, apparently I have lost the place where I had to read for you here. If you just give me 1 second. Now, when Talha and Zubayr went for Umrah, as we mentioned, they came and asked for permission to go to Umrah. why they wanted to go to Umrah, the reason was that Aisha was already in Mecca. Now, of course, they didn't go for knowing what they are going to make in terms of alliance with Aisha, because Aisha was not very thoughtful about waging a war against Ali. Now, why Aisha was in Mecca at that time, while, of course, her house was in Medina, and usually the wives of the Prophet didn't go out, except, of course, for Hajj they went. What happened, you know that Uthman was surrounded in Medina by many companions of the Prophet, and they wanted to kill Uthman. And, of course, one of the most prominent people who could have come out and helped Uthman was Aisha, as Ali did, peace be on him. Ali came and said that you should resolve this with negotiation, not with killing Uthman. If you kill the caliph, there will be fitna and all these things. Now, Aisha, what she did, she went out of the city so that people would not go to her to say, come and help Uthman. She didn't want this to happen, because she had lots and lots of grudges against Uthman. So she went out, she said, I want to go to Mecca. Even Marwan came to her and said, don't go out at this time. If you go out, this man is going to be killed. And she said, I don't care, I'm just going to Mecca now, I don't want to stay here. So she went to Mecca, she stayed there, and just looking after the news that what comes from Medina. Until the news came to her that Uthman is killed. And she was happy, because as I said, she was against Uthman. She was happy and started to pack and go back to Medina, because now everything was resolved, Uthman was killed, and she wanted to go to Medina. And on the way, unfortunately, when she was going back to Medina, she heard that people have made allegiance with Ali, and this was even worse. So she wished if Uthman was not killed, because what she thought and what everyone expected, that after Uthman the Bay'ah would go to Zubayr and to Talha, and Zubayr of course was husband to Aisha's sister, and she thought, okay, that would be very good, and Abdullah ibn Zubayr, her nephew. So everyone expected that. And since people paid allegiance to Ali, not Zubayr, so she was very upset. She returned to Mecca again. She didn't want to go to Medina at that time. She returned to Mecca to see what should be done. And we know that Talha and Zubayr came towards Mecca, and they sent someone to Aisha when they heard that she was very upset, and they had come to Mecca as well. They sent someone, and that someone was Abdullah bin Zubayr, Aisha's nephew. And they told him, go and tell Aisha that we want to wage a war against Ali. What is her opinion? Is she going to come with us? Abdullah came to her and said, you know what has happened, people have made a great mistake, they have paid allegiance to Ali, not to Zubayr, and they want to wage a war because they are not happy. What is the opinion? Aisha said, well, I'm not thinking of such a thing at the moment, but I will think about it. And when Abdullah came and wrote the message, Zubayr said, well, Alhamdulillah, Ummul Mu'mineen has agreed with us. Just saying, I will think about it means that she's happy with this. So they sent Abdullah the next morning again. Early in the morning, they sent her to ask Aisha of the result of her thoughts. And she said, yes, I will come with you. And in this way, an alliance was made between Aisha and Talha and Zubayr to go and fight against Ali. And the first thing they wanted to do, as I said, they wanted to go and take Basra, which was the most strategic place. Now, who were the people who had gone with Aisha and Talha and Zubayr. Now, first of all, Banu Umayyah, all of them who were in high position, they knew that Ali is going to remove them and take their position out of their hands. Many of them had lots of money of Baytul Mal in their hands, and they thought, if Ali comes, we are finished, we are done. So they all marched to Mecca to see what they have to do, and they found an army is going to fight against Ali. And they said, well, that's very good, we go with his army. And it is interesting, although Ummul Mu'mineen, who had great, great respect, of course, among Muslims, for several days was announcing in Mecca that I am going to war. And of course, many excuses. The first excuse was usage, that Uthman is killed by Ali, we have to take the revenge of the Khalid. Now, everyone knew that, of course, Aisha came out of Mecca because she wanted not to help Ali, to help Uthman. And now she was saying that Uthman is killed, we have to take the revenge, Uthman. Of course, we know, everyone knew that Aisha had grudges against Uthman, criticized Uthman very much. Even the one who called Uthman Na'asal, cockroach, was Aisha. And everyone knew. And she said that, no, Uthman repented. When they asked him for repentance, he repented. We have to support now the cause of Uthman. So, although she was summoning people, calling people for fights in Basra, moving to Basra, for several days, not many people actually joined. Only those who had run away, the remnants of Banu Umayyah, who were in power at that time, the family of Uthman, they came to support her and go with her to the battle. Now, the interesting thing is that at that time, Umm Salama, another Ummul Mu'min, another wife of the Prophet, was in Mecca as well. And upon hearing the decision of Aisha, she came to Aisha and said, why are you doing this? We are not responsible for what is happening, and Prophet is not happy with what you are going to do, certainly. And then she reminded Aisha of a hadith of the Prophet that told to Aisha, because on the way to Basra, they were going to pass by somewhere called Hawa. And Prophet had told Aisha that, woe to you when the dogs of Hawa would bark for you. And she reminds Aisha, do you remember this hadith from the Prophet, peace be on her? And Aisha, for a while, she was somehow terrified hearing that. But again, she said, no, we go forward, we are going to take the right of Uthman and the blood of Uthman. And, of course, the war was waged. And Amirul Mu'mineen, of course, made a khutbah and said what these people are. And he said, when he was making the khutbah, this is a very, very interesting forecast of Ali about the battle. He said, Wallah, لَيُقْتَلَنَّ ثُلُثُهُمْ وَلَيَحْرِبَنَّ ثُلُثُهُمْ وَلَيَتُوبَنَّ ثُلُثُهُمْ. I swear by God that one third of them will be killed, one third of them will run away, and one third of them would repent. And this is exactly what happened about Ashabul Jamal. وَإِنَّهَا الَّتِي تَنْحَبُهَا كِلَابُ الْحَوْأَبْ. And she is the one for whom the dogs of Hawab would bark, because this was very famous among everyone, that Prophet had told to Aisha, be warned when you are barked by the dogs of Hawab. And in fact, when Aisha was passing by Hawab, the dogs started to bark at her. And she was terrified again at that moment, and she said, I want to return. She was reminded of the hadith of the Prophet. And she says, I want to return. And then she asked, where is this place? At the beginning, she knew that it's Ho'ab. Then people started to say, no, this is not Ho'ab, this is another place. Don't worry, this is not what you are worried about. This is not that place that Prophet mentioned to you. And then Amirul Mu'mineen says that, وَإِنَّهُمَا لَيَعْلَمَانَ أَنَّهُمَا مُخْتَآنَ. They know that the two, Talha and Zubayr, they know for sure that they are wrong. It's not the case that things are confused for them, they don't know, they want to come for the blood of Uthman or something. They know for sure. وَرُبَّ عَالِمٍ قَتَلَهُ جَهْلُهُ. And of course they were ulama, they were alims. And how many alims that their jahl, their ignorance has killed them. وَمَعَهُ عِلْمُهُ لَا يَنْفَعُ. And then she says again, وَمَا لَنَا إِلَىٰ عَيْشَ مِنْ ذَنْبٍ إِلَّا إِنَّا أَدْخَلْنَاهَا فِي حَيِّذْنَا. I haven't done anything against Aisha except mercy and goodness. I don't know why she is now waging a war against me. And then he says, وَاللَّهَ لَأَبْقَرَنَّ الْبَاطِلِ. I would split apart the battle. حَتَّى يَظْهَرَ الْحَقُّ مِنْ خَاسِرَةِ. Until I bring the haq out of it. And then he finishes. Now, all these, of course, was somehow making Talha and Zubayr and Aisha, they were doubtful also, because they knew they were sinners. They knew they are wrong against Ali alayhi salam. Now, what happened was that Ali spoke to Zubayr on the battle, on the day of battle, and Zubayr repented. And this is very important. I mean, the psychology of these companions of the Prophet, knowing that they were martyrs and coming and fighting against Ali and regretting just before the war, this is what happened to Zubayr. It's very interesting what happened to Zubayr. Zubayr, as I said, was the cousin to Ali, cousin to Prophet, and a very great companion. So Ali really liked Zubayr. He didn't want to kill Zubayr. And it was with great regret and sorrow, with his great sorrow, that he wanted to face Zubayr and kill him. Therefore, the interesting thing is that بَرَزَ عَلِيٌّ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ يَوْمَ الْجَمَلِ وَنَادَ بِالزُّبَيْرِ يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ مِرَارًا. When the two armies were facing against each other, Ali came forth and several times called Zubayr to come forth. فَخَرَجَ الزُّبَيْرِ. Zubayr came forth, went out of his own army, came near Ali alayhi salam. فَتَقَارَبَا حَتَّى اَخْتَلَفَتْ أَعْنَاقُ خَيْلِهِمَا. They came so close until the necks of the horse were meeting each other. فَقَالَ لَهُ عَلِيٌّ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ إِنَّمَا دَعَوْتُكَ لِأُذَكِّرَكَ حَدِيثًا. Ali says, I called you because I want to remind something to you. It's on the very day of battle. He said, what's that hadith? What do you want to tell me? He said, you remember the Prophet told me and you one day we were hugging each other. And أَتَذْكُرُ يَوْمَ رَآكَ وَأَنْتَ مُؤْتَنِقِ. Do you remember when the Prophet saw us, we were hugging each other? And Prophet told you, أَتُحَبُّهُ. Do you love this man? Do you like this man? Meaning Ali. And you said, why shouldn't I like him? And he is my brother in Islam and my cousin. And the Prophet told you, أَمَا إِنَّكَ سَتُحَارِبُهُ وَأَنْتَ ظَالِمٌ لَهُ. But I tell you, you will fight him while you are zalim against him. Now, Zubayr suddenly was shocked. When Ali reminded him of this hadith, he was suddenly shocked. فاسترجع الزبير. He says, إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. Now, what has he done? I mean, even if he regrets, even if he wants to repent, what should be done? I mean, he has brought all this army along with him to fight against Ali, and he cannot stop the fight, certainly. What a person in that situation can do? He just said, قَالَ أَذْكَرْتَنِي مَا أَنْسَانِيَ الدَّهْ. You reminded me of what the days had made me to forget. And he returned to his army. His son, Abdullah ibn Zubayr. Abdullah ibn Zubayr, you know, is one of the fuqaha and one of the mufassirun, which is very much quoted. But to know about the history of these people, no matter how knowledgeable they were, and no matter how respected they might have become in the eyes of people. Of course, Abdullah ibn Zubayr is the one who fought against Yazid as well. When Hussein alayhi salam left Medina, he left Medina, and then afterwards he got the Hijaz and Mecca, and he fought against Yazid. But now his son is encouraging Zubayr to fight against Ali. Now his son Abdullah ibn Zubayr said, your face is very different just from a while ago when you left us. And Zubayr said to his son, Ali reminded me of something that I had forgotten. فَلَا أُحَارِبُهُ أَبَدًا. I'm not going to fight against him. وَأَنِّي لَرَاجِعْ وَتَارِكُكُمْ مُنْذَ الْيَوْمِ. And I'm going to go back, and from this day I abandon him. Abdullah, his son, said, well, he just smiled and said, I think the sword of Bani Abdul Muttalib has frightened you. It's not because of you are reminded of something, you are frightened. وَإِنَّهَا لَسُيُوفٌ حِدَادٌ, because they are very sharp swords. Zubayr said, وَيْلَكْ أَتُحَيِّدُنِي عَلَى حَرْبِهِ أَمَا إِنِّي قَدْ حَلَفْتُ أَلَّهُ أُحَارِبَ. He said, are you encouraging me to fight against Ali? I just swear that I'm not going to fight this man. His son said, كَفَّرْ عَنْ يَمِينِكَ, take kafara. You have swept, take kafara and fight. And don't go back, because then the woman would say, this is Zubayr, he's frightened of the fight. You see how the values are changed now? I mean, once these people were fighting for the sake of Allah, now do not go back, because women would say that you are frightened from Ali and from his army. And you never had been but a brave person. He said, now, of course he encouraged Zubayr, and Zubayr had nothing to say in this situation, and he was out of really himself because of what he had done. He just said, مَكْهُول غُلَامٍ مَكْهُول حُرٌّ كَفَارَةٌ عَنْ يَمِينِ. He said, okay, I pay the kafara, my slave Makhul is free as a kafara of my swear, and okay, I'll go and fight. So he came out straight away towards the army of Ali with his spear, but what he did, he took out the head of the spear. So everyone, well, especially Ali alayhi salam, he realized that this man hasn't come to fight. What Ali said, he said, فقال علي عليه السلام أخرج له فإنه مخرج. He said, open way for him, do not fight him, do not kill him, because he's going out of the war. So he came several times with that spear which didn't have any head. He came to the army moved away, and he went back several times, and then he went to his son and said, do you think I'm afraid? And he said, no, now you are not afraid, of course, do whatever you want. And he left the battle. Now, this man left the battle, Zubayr. But, of course, what calamity he brought. First of all, Aisha, he encouraged to come to this war, who never wanted to, who never imagined that she would sometimes would fight against Ali. He brought huge army. He started a fight, the consequences of which remained until Nahrawan, and now he regrets it. That's what have I done? Now he went, of course, someone who wanted some hadiyah, some ja'iza or gift from Ali, on the way found him and tricked him and killed him. And after the war brought his head for Ali, peace be on him. Now what Ali is, of course, there's a long story how, because Zubayr was a very brave man. How he killed him, how he set him, there's a long story. But when he broke the head for Ali, peace be on him, he said, his name was Amr ibn Jurmus, this man. He said, tell to Ali that Amr ibn Jurmus has come, and with him is the head of Zubayr and his sword. And he went in. Then Ali asked him, did you really kill Zubayr? Is it true that you have killed Zubayr? He said, yes. He said, I swear by God, Ibn Safiyyah was not a person scared of war. And you couldn't, you are not the type of man to kill him. And certainly, you have tricked him. Give me his sword. He took the sword. He looked at it. And he said, سَيْفٌ طَالَمَا بِهِ الْكَرْبُ عَنْ وَجْهِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَعَلَيْهِ. This sword for long time removed hardship from before the Prophet. Because Zubayr was one of those who really had fought for the Prophet in the battle, especially in Uhud. So Ali was so sad seeing the sword of Zubayr in front of him killed. Then Ibn Jurmus said, Al-Ja'iza ya Amir al-Mu'min, what's my gift? I have killed Zubayr. He said, you know, what is your ja'iza, what's your gift? Ama anni sami'tu Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi yaqul, Bashir qatil ibn Safiyya lil-Nar. He told me, give the news to the one who killed Zubayr, that he would go to hell. This is your gift. And because he just did it for the sake of that jahiz and not for the sake of God. And of course, he didn't know that, maybe he knew that Zubayr had repented and left the war. So this was, then of course the war went on, Talha was killed, one third of that army was killed. Aisha, of course, people were somehow encouraged by that red camel on which Aisha was placed. And Ali, peace be on him, said that until this camel is there, people are going to resist very fiercely. And as soon as the camel was brought down, Aisha was taken respectfully, and Ali looked after all the affairs so that Aisha could be brought back to Medina with respect, because of the respect of the Prophet. However, this issue brought the ensuing wars of Muawiyah against Ali, and then of Khawarij against Ali. So it was something which was, as Ali says here, that Shaitan nataqa bi'alsinatihim, spoke in with their tongue, and attakhadhahum lahu ashraka. They were the booby traps of Shaitan. Shaitan took them as his booby trap, attacked more people, and then, of course, after this battle, Muawiyah could come forth for the blood of Uthman, although Muawiyah himself was a part of that incident. And then Khawarij came forth. So the whole issue was created by Shaitan, from people who were not really the people who had to fight Ali, like Zubayr. Zubayr was not a man who really had to fight Ali or had to really come to this end and this type of destiny to bring this calamity to Muslim Ummah. But, well, what can we do? All of us should be really aware of what we are doing, and be careful about the destiny that we might bring for ourselves in the due course of our life. The next khutbah that talks about, he thinks that he has made bay'ah with me with his hand, and he thinks that he hasn't done it with his heart. This also was somehow resolved when Zubayr was reminded of the hadith of the Prophet, and he regretted, and he left. It's a very, very sad story, and one really doesn't know how to judge it, and how to judge Zubayr. We are not concerned now about Talha, because Zubayr was the one who repented. As Amirul Mu'mineen said, one third of them would be killed. Even in this trial, it happened as well. One third of them, Talha was killed, Zubayr repented, Aisha, of course, was returned to Medina, and this happened for the whole army and brought all those consequences for the Ummah afterwards. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alayhi wa sallam.
Last week you talked about how to reconcile the fact that the Prophet said that Zubayr was one of the enemies of Jannah, and yet he committed such an act. How are you going to talk about
that? Yeah, I forgot that actually. The important issue, because this comes up in Quran as well several times, and that is people usually do some actions which, due to those actions, they deserve a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what Prophet said, that on the Yawm al-Uhud, Zubayr deserved Jannah because of what he did, the bravery, the sincerity, defending the Prophet, peace be on him. But all these informations given to people does not mean that from now on, up to the end, you are somehow without duties. Whatever you do, you will go to paradise. It's not the case. It's just like when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commends mu'mineen in the Quran. For mu'mineen is paradise. And all of us are mu'minun, inshallah. However, we don't know what happens tomorrow, whether we would remain faithful or not. And all these things, if they have come from the Prophet, peace be on him, about different people. Or in the Quran, for example, about those who made Bay'atul Radwan. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. Allah was pleased with mu'minun who made bay'ah with you under that tree in Hudaybiyah. And of course Allah was pleased with them because of their action. However, it is completely possible that Allah becomes displeased with the same people another day because of some other action. So we always should take the present situation and at the end the final situation of people rather than just taking a certain circumstance in which Allah might be wrathful or pleased with those people. And these Asharatul Mubashara, the 10 which were separately, Ahl al-Sunnah believe that were given the good tidings that they will go to paradise. Even if this is right, if this is true, they were given at certain times that good tiding by the Prophet that your action deserves paradise. And if you are certainly remaining like this, if you continue like this, you will go to paradise. Otherwise, of course, Allah would not guarantee for anyone, even for his prophets, that they are deserving paradise until the last moment of the life comes. And that is where the file is closed and people are determined to go where they have to go.
I understand that, but could it also be possible that it could mean that eventually you will end up in Jannah? Because I hear that eventually you have to end up in Jannah, so maybe that could be a case of that.
No, then that is a type of useless statement. Because if eventually everyone goes to Jannah, why some people should be singled out and said that these people will go to Jannah, these people wouldn't go to Jannah.
Sisters, your question?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
I have a question about prayer.
Just related to the previous question, like the situation about Zubair, we can see that he was redeemed the way he died, and he repented and everything. What about Salah? How did he die? Did he probably said, "Wajib al-Talib al-Jannah"? Then how did he die?
No, he did not repent. He was killed in the battle.
So isn't it a bit difficult? I mean, the Prophet says Jannah is wide for him. And the Prophet has knowledge of the future as well.
You see, it is. As I said, impossible to say to some people that they will go to Jannah before their life comes to end. It means that they are given extra hope with which they might think that, okay, it doesn't matter, whatever we do, we go to paradise, because Prophet has told us that we go to paradise. And certainly Prophet would not tell anyone anything like that, because it would destroy the whole future of the person. Except if that person is a ma'soom or something like that, of course. And whatever the Prophet has said is just like all the promises Allah has made in the Quran. About mu'minun, about those who wage jihad. I mean, you can compare this with this verse. That whoever wages war for the sake of Allah would go to paradise. Does this mean that a person who wages war, who does jihad, once in his lifetime, then after that, whatever they do, it doesn't matter, they would go to paradise? Is that true? Certainly not. I mean, a person might go to jihad for the sake of God, but after that he might come and kill a person intentionally. I mean, what would happen then? Certainly he would have deserved paradise for what he did in terms of jihad, but afterward he destroyed it, he ruined it. And therefore, this is not going to be one of those about whom that promise would become true. It's the same case about when Prophet talks about people, that you deserve paradise. If they destroy it in future, of course, that's something that... Aisha was not happy, of course, that Ali became a caliph, and she did not see that she had done anything wrong in Jamal, and well, of course, this continued until the end of her life. So what will happen, we don't know. She is one of Ummul Mu'mineen. What will happen, we don't know. What Amirul Mu'mineen says, he said that from the time they moved out towards Basra until the time Aisha was returned to Medina, she took all her steps with sin. This is what Amirul Mu'mineen says. So it was a complete sin to go along this battle. But, well, this is what she has done. We cannot judge, we have to just wait for the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Sisters, yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Alaykum
as-salam.
You know, I was wondering at the time of Abu Bakr and how did Zubair and Aisha behave and think? Or did they think it was right for Abu Bakr to be taken in the caliph? Or did they feel that the Mahdi was taken out of his life? Or did they forget the name? Did they forget all that?
Well, of course, for Aisha, it was very good that her father became the caliph. And she always boasted about that my father became the caliph after the Prophet. For Zubair and Talha, no, of course they wanted to pay allegiance to Ali, and they wanted to fight with Ali, alongside Ali, against Abu Bakr. But it did not materialize. But you should of course, bear in mind that now about 20 years have passed from that time, and people have accepted the reality and what had happened. The issue was now, of course, the Khilafah of Uthman. None of these people were happy with Uthman, neither Talha, nor Zubayr, nor Aisha. And it's interesting that when Talha and Zubayr went to Aisha, Aisha told to Talha that you were throwing arrows at the house of Uthman and then paid allegiance to Ali. And now you have come and want to fight for the blood of Uthman against Ali. This is very interesting. And Talha said, well, I regret what I've done. I was wrong. And now I want to correct things. So now the immediate issue was Uthman and then the Khilafah of Ali. And of course, the most important thing is that Talha and Zubayr saw themselves to deserve the Khilafah more than Ali. And if you remember, they were a part of that six people who were appointed by Umar to appoint a Khalif from among themselves. And they thought that the chance of them to become Khalif after Uthman was much more than Ali. And now the things had turned against them, so they started to make all these fuss.
It's understandable how Talha and Zubayr might have felt at the loss of an opportunity to become the Caliph after the death of Uthman. But it seems that the Battle of Jabal could have got the momentum that it obviously attained. Aisha was instrumental and very, very important. But she must have had a very deep historical hatred of Amin al-Mu'minin.
Yes, she did. She did have actually very deep hatred against Ali. It is not really known why that hatred was there. Well, it's understandable as well. But as you said, it was really impossible for Talha and Zubayr to wage that war if Aisha had not accompanied them. Because they didn't do it in their own names. They called people towards Ummul Mu'mineen, saying that this is your mother going to fight, come and help her, this is Ummul Mu'mineen, mother of the Mu'mineen, all these things. But Aisha, from the time of Abu Bakr, of course, because Ali was very bitter about what had happened, he criticized Abu Bakr and why he took the Khilafah. And even before that, Prophet was favoring Ali very much, and this was not very very nice in the eyes of Aisha. So, right from the beginning, at the time of Khilafah of his father, he had developed that hatred against Ali. And now, of course, it was showing itself, that hatred.
I understand that one time, Imam Ali said advised the Prophet to actually divorce.
I don't know. What I have heard is that because Ummul Mu'minun were the wives of the Prophet, even after the Prophet. I mean, no one could marry them, they had their own due respect. And what I have seen in some hadith is that Prophet actually gave the authority to Ali, that if he thinks that one of his wives had gone deviated very much, he had the authority to divorce her on behalf of the Prophet, so that then she would not be called Ummul Mu'mineen afterwards. But of course, Ali did not use this authority at all. And the situation was as such, even if he had said and claimed that the Prophet had given me this authority, no one would have accepted from him, certainly. So, this is what I have heard. Not that I don't think Ali ever advised Prophet in any issue. We have that Umar advised Prophet very much, and Abu Bakr advised Prophet, but I don't think Ali ever dared to advise the Prophet on anything. He saw himself much, much, nowhere than the Prophet to advise him about.
Just going back to this Ashma Vashara which you mentioned, the way you're saying that the meaning of Shia to whom is not in any way accept this Ashma Vashara, you cannot give the Shia to anybody that's dead before he gets to heaven. The same thing applies to that person who killed Zubair, that you have the Shia that's going to hell. The meaning that also is only valid until the guy does something good.
Yeah, true. Yeah, true. Exactly. Okay. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam.